5, 4, 3, 2, 1, player one, ready, go!
I'd like to start off with acknowledgement country. Syn Media acknowledges and pays respect to the people of the Wurundjeri and Boonwurrung language groups of the Eastern Kulin Nations, on whose unceded grounds the Syn Studio lies. Syn extends this respect to the traditional custodians of the people of the lands and waters our continent reaches. It always was and always will be Aboriginal land. You're listening to Player One with Zach and Ravindu. How are you doing today, Zach? I just want to switch it up.
Switch it up a little bit. Oh, I've never been asked how I'm doing by you before. No. Well, that's a lie. Yes, I have. Just never at the top. I'm doing great. Perfect. I'm doing excellent.
Beautiful.
Oh, incredible. Amazing. How are you doing?
I'm doing great as well. We've got an exciting segment today.
We've got a good show lined up.
We do.
What are we talking?
We're talking news. We're talking gaming.
Gaming.
And we're going to be talking about predictions.
Predictions. Later.
Later.
Later. And of course, we'll be doing the playlist where we talk about what we've been playing. Have you had a busy gaming week? Have you been a gamer this week?
Not as much as I would like.
Oh, you've been a bad gamer.
I have.
You haven't been a good gamer. You've been a bad gamer. It's the only metric I'm using to judge someone from now on is, have you been a good gamer or a bad gamer?
Bad gamer entails 0 hours of gaming.
0 hours of gaming? That's a lie. You've done some hours of gaming.
No, I'm saying on the scale of good to bad gamer.
A bad gamer, I feel like, is an unfulfilled amount of gaming. The fact that you're disappointed in the amount of the lack of gaming you've had, that's what makes you a bad gamer.
Oh,
it's real philosophical. It's not about the amount of gaming you've had. It's about how you feel about that gaming.
A quality 2-hour gaming session is better than 50 hours of just wasted time.
Yeah, so it's better than 50 hours of playing League. That's not targeted to you
at all. No, I don't play League. We've established this already.
True. You used to, though.
I did. Used to.
Shamefully. No, League is fine. Is it? You're the one who played it.
It's fun.
All right. If you do play your League and you want to yell at me, you can do that on our socials. At Player1Syn, that's Player1Syn on Instagram. I just want to make it clear, I don't hate League. It's just fun to make fun of Ravindu for playing League because you played it back in high school.
It's a very easy game to make fun of the fan base for.
It's also just an easy game to kind of make fun of. It's just got a reputation, but it's honestly not that bad. It's fine.
No comment.
No comment. I never got that into it. Anyway, if you want to catch our past shows, where can you look?
You can check us on wherever you find podcasts. We're on Omni, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, and wherever podcasts are found.
Yeah. If we're not, that's on you. Look somewhere else. If you're not listening to the podcast like right now, what are you even doing? Listening to us live, which is even better.
That's it.
Even better.
Thanks for listening in.
That's not the end of the show. We're not saying thanks for listening yet.
thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. Make sure you stay tuned in. And it's the age-old question, Ravindu. How you going?
I'm doing great.
You're doing great? Oh, that's great. We are going to jump into the news headlines, the quickfire news. Starting off, continuing the very rough year in the games industry, Sony announced that they are laying off about 900 people. It's an 8% workforce reduction. They sent out a blog post about it where they actually included a transcript of the emails that were sent out to employees where they cited the, quote, evolving economic landscapes as reason for the reduction. And it's reductions across various studios, so it's not just like one Sony studio, it's not an entire studio that's closing down or anything, it's across various studios, including like Insomniac and their other like subsidiary studios. And it does also include the complete closing of their London studio as well. Continuing with some news, indie hit Balatro kind of broke out over the past week, has actually been removed from a few online storefronts due to age rating issues. Where it was initially rated 3+, has now been bumped up to 18+, due to depictions of gambling, and has been removed from a few storefronts in Australia and I believe a few countries across Europe at the moment. Toys for Bob, the company behind the Spyro and Crash Bandicoot remasters, are leaving Activision. So they've previously been an Activision subsidiary. They are leaving and becoming a fully independent studio, which is interesting. Very keen to see what goes on there because I'm a big fan of some of their work. And kind of the other big bit of news from the past week, we had the Pokemon Presents. Did you catch that?
Just the main one.
Just the big one. The Pokemon Legends ZA announcement, which we will be talking a little bit more and predicting a little bit later on in the show. So stay tuned for that. And just one more little bit of news I know you're keen to talk about. The Borderlands film trailer.
Yeah, it dropped surprisingly a couple of weeks ago. And I just want to touch on very interesting cast. Jack Black, the voice of Claptrap. Can't go wrong with Claptrap. Kevin Hart as Roland. I don't think he fits the role. But I think it covers, it's got the explosiveness, it's got the colors. I'm excited to see it as a big Borderlands 3, Borderlands fan.
I've never delved into the Borderlands series. I've always wanted to try it. I just haven't given it a shot yet. But yeah, casting, interesting.
Yes.
I'm very surprised. Cate Blanchett?
Cate Blanchett, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes.
Their characters in the games are like 20-ish. So,
all right.
Yeah. Look,
we'll see. I am cautiously optimistic. It does look fun, at least.
It does look fun, which I think is the essence of like the Borderlands, just fun, mayhem, explosions in color.
As a not Borderlands fan, I have no expectations of like it has to have this or it has to have that, which may make it better. We will see.
My expectations is, does it have vaults? Yes, the trailer does mention the word vault. What is inside? Who knows? But I think that just knowing that other film game-based movies are not the best, I think.
True. We'll cautious optimism.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I think we'll keep our eyes on it and we'll talk about it more as we get closer to release. Speaking of releases, what are some of the new releases this week?
It's a very short list today, Zach. We've got on March 4th, the Thaumaturge coming to PC. And then on the March 8th, we've got WWE 2K24 coming to PC, PS4 and 5, Xbox X and S, and the Xbox One. And Unicorn Overlord coming to Switch.
Very interested to keep an eye on Unicorn Overlord. I've enjoyed some of Atlas's other games. Not too sure about this one, but we'll see how it goes. You are listening to Player One here on Sin with Zach and Ravindu. Ravindu, how you going?
I'm hyped.
Hyped? Hyped for what?
Hyped to talk about video games.
Correct answer, because that's what we're doing here on Player One. It's what we do all the time. Actually, not all the time. Sometimes we talk about games that aren't video related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
now we're talking about video games. Yeah, it's time for the playlist, so I will start us off with the eternal question. What have you been playing this week?
I've been playing a great selection of indie titles. A couple of Australian ones as well. Ooh. That I want to shout out. I'm going to kick it off with a non-Australian game, indie nonetheless, Mutazone, a Denmark-based studio, a point-and-click adventure game where you're playing as a young girl who's been invited to this mysterious island full of mutants by her dying grandpa's wishes. And I've not played too much of it, but like the cast of like characters is like so well written, even in the first like 2 hours. There's so much depth to them. I haven't really explored like the indie point and click puzzle elements yet that you see in like Days of the Tentacle and Return to Monkey Island. So I'm excited to explore those, but seems like a great title so far.
So I spoke about Secret of Monkey Island, actually, I think on the first week of the show, first week back. Secret of Monkey Island, good game.
Yes.
Do recommend. I will jump in. I have finished playing Inscription, which I said I started last week and I was very excited to talk about this week. but I'm going to keep being vague because I know you want to play Inscription.
I do want to play it.
And it is so hard to talk about this game without, like, spoiling it in a way that matters. Like, sometimes I think people, especially when talking about games, can be a little too, like, spoiler conscious of, like, okay, if the story is good, it should stand on its own without spoilers.
Mm.
That's my hot take. But it's genuinely very difficult to talk about Inscription because it has a lot of elements that are best experienced if you don't expect them.
Mm.
I will say this. Act 1, so the game is divided into 3 acts. Act 1 is the best part of the game. It's unfortunate because it's the best part for, like, kind of a narrative reason. So I can see why the other two parts aren't as gameplay, like, satisfying. That doesn't change the fact that they are not as fun, though. Like, just because it's a narrative thing doesn't mean I'm having less fun. I'm not having less fun.
So you are having just as fun in Act 2 and 3?
No. I'm having less fun. I understand why they're not as fun. Like, it does make sense given the story of the game.
Right.
But that doesn't excuse the fact that I'm having less fun. Like, I think there could have been ways to make them just as fulfilling as Act 1.
Right.
There are some plot points that did not care for at all. I'll say that there's a very meta element to this game where you're playing as someone playing the game, and so you've got the story of the game, and then you've got the story of the person playing it. And the two are intertwined, but kind of separate as well. Did not care about the story of the person playing the game. It goes in some very weird directions that just feel too over the top, to the point I couldn't quite take them seriously. And there's some sort of iffy performances in there as well, where it's like, you're not quite selling it as well, unfortunately.
That is unfortunate to hear.
Yes.
Sorry, I just want to ask, do you think Act 2 and 3 are intentionally bad on purpose, or do you think it's just a subjective thing that you didn't have as much fun?
Look, I'm not going to say they're bad. They're not bad. It's just Act 1 is much better.
Right, sets the bar too high.
It's not even that it sets the bar too high. It's that, based off of what is happening in the narrative, it makes sense for Act 1 to be better. Mm. I can see someone enjoying Act 3 more, potentially, depending on what sort of gameplay style they like. But if you're drawn to Inscription in the first place, it's probably because of Act 1. And I will say this. There was actually an update / mini expansion released called Casey's Mod. It's not actually a mod. It is official. Again, game about a game. It makes sense.
Yep.
And that is an expansion of Act 1. That basically just lets you play Act 1 infinitely. And it's like, I can see why this was done for Act 1 and not for Act 2 or 3.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Should potential gamers be discouraged by that? Or just give it a go no matter what?
I think if you, like, watch the trailer and it interests you, it's a game that's worth playing. If you're interested in unconventional storytelling in games, definitely worth playing. Honestly, if you are just a fan of games in general, very much worth playing. I'll say this. If you like creepypastas, you will really like this game.
Interesting.
It's very embedded in that cult. Like, this is a love letter to, like, the gaming creepypasta. I'll say that much. And I don't particularly like creepypastas. I think they're kind of silly. But I still kind of got a kick out of it of, like, you know, I grew up in the age of, like, Slender Man and stuff like that. So I still kind of got a kick of, like, that's funny. If you like Yu-Gi-Oh, don't you?
I do like Yu-Gi-Oh.
There is one specific, it's just a bit joke. It's not even like a big thing, but you will find it very funny.
Oh my god.
It's not till the very end of the game, but you will find it very funny.
When you mentioned Inscription, you did not mention a Yu-Gi-Oh reference.
That's because I had not gotten that far yet.
Okay.
I was not expecting it. It was very funny though, and I don't even like Yu-Gi-Oh that much.
Yeah, for those who don't know, I've been playing Yu-Gi-Oh for about 12 years on and off, so I'm buying this game immediately.
It's very blatant. What else have you been playing?
I've been playing so much more different than Inscription, but it's still on, like, that humor train. Frog Detective 2 : Curse of the Invisible Wizard.
Okay, I'm just going to jump in and say Inscription is not a funny game.
Never mind.
It's got some moments of, like, levity and comedy, but it is not, like, a funny game. It is very creepy and can be quite disturbing. Second point, that is an amazing title. Please tell me more.
Yeah, so, okay, scratch that. It's the complete opposite vibe. It is hilariously light It's witty. It's charming. It's made by Australian duo dubbed The Worm Club. It's a really cute puzzle game. You play as the titular frog detective trying to solve who destroyed the Invisible Wizard's welcoming party. This wizard has just joined into this small community and all the neighbors have thrown a welcome party, but someone's destroyed it and you have to come in and solve it.
Now, question, is the wizard invisible?
Yes.
Oh, damn, title is not lying.
No, there are zero lies in the title. There is a frog detective and there is an invisible wizard.
Is the invisible wizard cursed?
No.
A title made one little lie. Oh, actually, it could be the invisible wizard cursed someone else.
The invisible wizard did curse someone else.
Okay, titles, it checks all boxes.
No spoilers.
It does sound very fun, though. This sounds right up my alley.
My main con of the game is because it's made by two people, it's a very short game.
I don't mind short games, to be honest. If I'm fulfilled, I'm happy.
Oh, 100%. You will become a good gamer if you play this to completion.
yeah, that's the satisfying good gamer mark.
Yes.
Speaking of not short games or length in games, I also started Yakuza Like a Dragon, which I've been meaning to play for a while. I'll have more to say about this one in a bit, but I will say, love the characters. Combat's kind of iffy. God, the intro was way too long. It takes like 4 hours to get to the main part of the game, and it's a pain. But again, more on that a bit later. What else have you got?
I'm going to go into my deep dive of another Australian game and Devolver published.
We were talking about this earlier. We've been on a real Devolver kick, apparently. Yeah,
they publish good games.
Sometimes.
And Cult of the Lamb is no exception. Victorian-based, actually, as well.
Mm, do you know the studio off the top of your head?
No.
No? We'll track that down later. But yeah, I definitely want to play Cult of the Lamb.
Yeah.
First impressions?
Oh, it's amazing. If you like roguelikes and if you like farming / colony sims, this game just mashes these two concepts perfectly. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, just one more little thing on my end. I did start watching The Last of Us TV show. I've only watched episode one so far. Don't know if it's really my thing. I don't like creepy things because I'm a coward and I will label myself as that unashamedly. But yeah, I might keep it up. We'll see. I like the chemistry, or I like the characters of Joel and Ellie enough to kind of want to see it through, even if I find it very discomforting at times, which it's kind of meant to be. It's a horror show.
Have you played the games?
No, have you?
No, I have not. No,
oh, we're bad gamers.
Yeah, Last of Us, it wasn't, not really a series I've been interested in.
I'm interested in it off of the back of its, like, reputation.
Mm.
As in, like, a lot of people say it's kind of a very landmark game, and that makes me interested in playing it, because I want to kind of see why it gets considered that. But if you would just, like, be like, oh, it's a zombie horror survival game, I'd be like, yeah, no, not touching that. So, we'll see. Oh, it's the question of the ages. How are you going?
I am excited.
Excited. We're talking about our deep dives. So what we really want to talk about this week, because we've both got a couple of games. Well, we've got one game each, which is a couple. That's two games.
One plus one.
One plus one is two. I can do math. All right. Do you want to... I'll kick us off, actually. Kick us off. Because I feel like I have a bit less to say, because I've only really just started. Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Hit me.
Have you ever played a Yakuza game?
No, I've not.
Okay. I've played Yakuza 0. Very, very fun, very bizarre game, but fun. And a bit of context, Yakuza Like a Dragon is the seventh mainline game in the series, and it kind of is a bit of a turning point for the series. So it went from a sort of third-person beat-em-up kind of game into a turn-based role-playing game. Also, new protagonist, so it's kind of a changing of the guard. And fittingly, Like a Dragon is the name of the series in Japan. The studio, actually, Ryuga Gotoku, I think is the studio's name. It means Like a Dragon. They basically just make the one series, pretty much, and then a few spin-offs of the series. They do a very good job of making the same game a lot, pretty much. But they've kind of brought, they've kind of unified it, because now the second game, or the eighth game, basically, they've changed the series from Yakuza to Like a Dragon, because then the next game was Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. And this represents the changing of the guard a little bit.
Interesting, interesting. So it's like the God of War original series and now the God of War 2018?
Yeah, but like they've kind of changed the name and they've fully, like it's a new main character now.
Right, okay.
And it's, I like the new main character. So we went from Kiryu in the Yakuza series to now Ichiban in the Like a Dragon games. He's much more boisterous and excited about things, which, you know, it's a contrast to the stoic protagonist, but it's a very good contrast. He's a very fun character, I'll say that.
Interesting.
And this is a kind of a personal thing. I kind of was explaining this earlier. I really like unconventional protagonists. Specifically, I really like middle-aged men who have to be like heroes. It comes from reading Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, because the main character of those books is just a guy who just he's just like a middle-aged normal dude, and that's kind of who the main characters in this JRPG are. Because when you think JRPG, so often you get like the heroes destined to save the world, or like the high schoolers who have to confront God. Here it's just like some 40-year-olds going through the worst midlife crisis imaginable.
You're playing Martin Freeman. The movie Hitchhikers. I don't know if you've
seen it. I haven't seen the movie. So I was like, Martin Freeman as in just playing a dude? Sure. Kind of, but like,
lost reference. That's all right.
I've not seen the movie. I've only read the books. I'm so sorry. But yeah, fun game. Intro is way too long, though. Like, it took like 4 hours to hit the actual game.
Oh my god.
The Yakuza series has some long cutscenes. This game has some long cutscenes. I was like, I had half an hour before I was going to go to bed. And I was like, you know what? I'll just play for a little bit. And I kid you not, I played for like 20 minutes and then I had like a half an hour cutscene. And I was like, I really want to go to sleep, but I can't save the game mid cutscene. I have to just wait.
Were you waiting or were you engaged? Does it keep you engaged despite its long cutscenes?
Honestly, not as well as I'd like. Some of them are very entertaining. I think the side quests have more entertaining cutscenes. The Yakuza series has some wacky side quests, like really bizarre, and that's kind of its shtick. So I was more engaged by a lot of those than the main story, where the main story, like, it has its exciting moments, but then it also has a lot of just people explaining who they are, and it's like, what, where do they come from, and what, like, clan are they a part of, and what's their history with this person, and what's their history with this person? Like, great, this is all building up to something, I'm sure. But, man, could you build it up in a more interesting way?
Yeah.
It takes a while. It's still a fun game, but, like, if you're not into that, like, style, like, it is still an RPG's RPG. And unfortunately, the combat doesn't really help. It's fun in that it's wacky.
I've seen gameplay of, like, the OG Yakuza series as, like, just a whole beat-em-up.
Yep.
And does the turn-based system work for this type of game?
Not super well. It's not super refined. They try to emulate the turn-based style, or not the turn-based, they try and emulate that sort of beat-em-up style by having the characters, like, walk around in combat, but you can't actually control where they're moving. I know in Infinite Wealth you can, but in this game you can't actually control where they're moving. They just kind of pace around each other, because it's meant to make it look like they're kind of in this all-out brawl.
Yeah.
And it kind of does, but it also means that, like, any attacks you have that are area of effect, you actually can't really strategize with those very well, because, like, characters keep moving. It's like, how am I supposed to know who it's going to hit if you just keep walking around and pacing?
That's such a strange concept. A turn-based game where you don't control the movement of the characters? Is that what...
I mean, you control their actions, so you control whether they attack or use an ability or use an item or, like, summons. The summons are very funny, because it's just set in the modern day. The summons are just him, like, the main character, calling someone on his phone.
Oh, that's amazing.
But he still acts like he's a JRPG protagonist. That's kind of the main character's shtick. Ichiban's shtick is, like, he's a normal guy, but he constantly acts like his life is a JRPG, even though all the other characters don't. So he'll be calling someone, and he'll be holding his phone up as a glowing beacon to summon them from the heavens.
When you said that, that's exactly what I was imagining. I'm glad that happened.
It is when we play music, I will show you a video.
Perfect.
It's very fun. But yeah, you can't actually control where they're walking. So take it what you will. I'm still having a good time. Over to you, though. Cult of the Lamb. Let's go local.
Cult of the Lamb, yeah. Melbourne-based studio Massive Monster has put out a hit game, Cult of the Lamb. I'm going to be saying cult just a lot today, so just keep that in mind. It's a really unique game. It's a roguelike, but where the meta progression comes in the form of a colony sim.
Right. Well, I know you like both your sims and your roguelikes.
See, colony sim's not a genre I've dabbled in. I haven't really played RimWorld or Prison Architect and stuff like that. But this one really works for me. You are playing as the new leader of this old god, and you need to, one, destroy the current existing pantheon and form a new religion.
Right.
And you need to cultivate your followers in the form of a colony sim.
And just so we're clear, you're also a lamb.
Yes. Cult of the Lamb.
You're not just a lamb, you're the lamb.
The lamb. You're denying the god, old gods, and you need to recruit new followers during the roguelike sections of the game. Typical roguelike, move through room by room. Think Binding of Isaac type top-down view. You find potential followers trapped or about to be executed, and you take them back, bring them happy. But then, unfortunately, you kind of have to do the same to them as well.
God.
Yeah, it's kind of twisted.
Right. It does look pretty dark, but in an over-the-top cartoony way.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's dark, but there's cute music, and all the flowers followers are enjoying themselves. But then
dark comedy.
Yeah.
Yep. How's the combat?
That's the problem. That's my one problem with the game. It's the roguelike sections are they're floaty. That's I feel it's a bit floaty. I'm playing on the controller, and it's also very basic.
Right.
Comparing to Hades, where within the roguelike there is that progression of building upon upgrades and stuff. You don't really have that in Cult of the Lamb, where I'm at a stage where the starting weapon I get at the start of the run, I would just use that for the entire time. Either I win or lose.
Yep.
And it's entirely based on my skill and not really upgrades. And I don't know if I like that.
Right. I get what you mean. What about, in terms of the NPCs, do they have very, distinct personalities? Because from what I saw, they did look kind of generic NPC dialogue a little bit. Are they, fully formed characters that have their own sort of backstories? Or are they more just, NPCs for the NPC machine?
So your followers are completely generic. You have to be, because they rotate out constantly. But the established ones, there's got this dice mini game, and those NPCs are pretty cool. They have interesting dialogue, but not a lot of backstory behind them.
Okay.
As fleshed out as it should be.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, I getcha.
The real fleshed out is the cult system. It's insane. It's got, doctrines, it's got fates, it's got rituals you can do. I've got some really interesting ones that have interesting synergies. You can, force feed grass to everyone, but then you have a doctrine where it doesn't have a negative effect. So I collect grass during my run and then make cheap food out of them. So it's a win-win.
Right. So does what you do in one run tend to affect what you do in the next in that way?
Besides, the story, there's, the story progression through it.
Mm.
It's do a run, cultivate your Cultivate Your Cult, do another run.
Yep. How long kind of does one run take usually?
15 minutes.
Okay, so probably like a little bit shorter than your average like Hades run.
Yeah.
Hades is the standard we're going to measure all of these games to, isn't it?
But the cult like runs in the background while you're off doing the roguelike sections.
So it's kind of still like a management.
Yeah, so at any point, you can just like cancel your run and come back to the vault, cult and see if like if someone has passed away, if someone's sick, you realize, oh no, I can't finish this run. I got to help my followers back home. Right. So it's really interesting like that.
Okay, it sounds interesting.
It's a lot of systems. Again, only gripe is the combat itself is pretty basic.
I think that's kind of the gripe we both had with our respective games. Yeah. They sound very not similar at all. All right, let us know what you've been playing, what you think. If you played Cult of the Lamb or Yakuza Like a Dragon, let us know your thoughts.
If any of the topics discussed in the last segment have affected you in any way, there are organizations you can reach out to for help. You can contact Lifeline on 13 11 14, Kids Helpline on 1800 55 1800, or Beyond Blue at 1300 22 4638.
You are listening to Player One here on Sin with Zach and Ravindu. Ravindu, it is 9:02. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
You're doing great. We have hit the midpoint of the show. So we've got another great hour of content coming up. Just before we get into that, though, I just have a message from my sister who recommended a song earlier who wants to say, tell your listeners that I said thanks and also that I slay. So my sister says to me thanks and also says that she slays. So you know what? Shout out.
Shout out to Zach's sister.
Shout out. If you want a shout out, where can people get in touch with us?
You can follow us on Instagram at player1syn. That's S-Y-N, sin. And if you don't catch us live, you can catch us on our podcast on Omni, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, give us a listen. Recommend us to people. Tell us what you've been playing, all that good stuff. Coming up soon, we're going to be giving our Pokemon Legends ZA predictions. We've both played Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Yes, we have.
Oh, question. Do you say Arceus or Arceus?
Arceus.
Arceus? Arceus.
ZA, though.
Oh, true. Yeah, that one's on me. Oh, wait. Do I say Z or Z? Now I'm overthinking it. And my name starts with a Z.
Answer the question.
Oh, God. I just said Zed. I can't decide. I'm having an identity crisis. We'll also be talking about game genres. We have hot takes.
We have opinions.
We have opinions. Yeah, let us know your opinions. Okay, let us know your opinions. Do you like the use of the term Souls-like to describe games? Hit us up on Instagram. Tell us what you think. We'll be getting into that later. And, of course, we'll be ending it with the quiz.
The quiz.
The quiz. I thought you were going to do it again.
Make that a soundbite.
Oh, absolutely, of course. You're listening to Player One here on Sin with Zach and Ravindu, and we are going to see the future. Kind of.
Hopefully.
We're going to try. It is time to make some predictions. So last week we did our Hades 2 predictions, and we'll still wait and see if we're right in those, because the game's not out yet. It won't be out for a little while.
At this point, I'm losing hope.
Don't lose hope. We're not having a Silksong situation. Surely we do Silksong for this at some point as well.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, but I predict that the game won't come out.
I predict that it will do.
Oi! All right, now we're talking Pokemon Legends ZA. ZA.
However you want to call it.
Zah!
The last letter of the alphabet and the first letter of the alphabet.
Oh. Yes. True. So we both played Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Yes, we have.
We're not super Pokemon fans.
We're not super Pokemon fans, but we are Pokemon fans.
We're Pokemon. I would consider myself a Pokemon acquaintance. If I saw Pokemon in the street, I would give it a friendly head nod and a handshake and be like, hey, how you going, man? Maybe chat for like a minute or two and then go about my day.
Accurate.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, let's get lunch and stuff. But like, I'd hang out with you for a bit, you know, if I saw the personification of Pokemon.
Yeah.
And I do really, really like Legends Arceus.
I think it was a really interesting take on the Pokemon series.
I think it was a very necessary take on the Pokemon series.
That too.
Yeah. So let's make some guesses. Do you have anything to kick us off?
We'll start off with what we know. We know that it's the region is based on France.
It's Kalos, correct?
No, it's a...
Is it not Kalos?
I think it is Kalos.
I think I'm pretty sure it's Kalos.
So I've heard stuff talking about, oh, it's like based off France. Like,
yeah, but isn't Kalos based off France? Is it? I'm pretty sure it is. I have not played Pokemon X and Y. Yes, I have just Wikipedia'd it. Lumio City in the Kalos region based on Paris, France. That is straight from Wikipedia. Yeah, because it's got the big tower that looks like the Eiffel Tower. Before we can predict the future, we have to establish the past. I have a history degree.
This is, as you can see, where my Pokemon Lege starts and ends.
We're doing a quiz on Pokemon later, so let's get that up to speed quickly. Yes, it is set in the Kalos region, which is based on France. Where are you going with this?
I thought that was new information.
It's new to you, and it's established to me. So now we've established the groundwork. Pokemon Legends ZA. Do you think that we're going to see starters? This is something I've seen a lot of people calling for. Starters that are not like water, fire, grass type.
I don't think it will be too radical. I do like what they did with the Hisuian regions. You know, DDCI is grass fighting. And Typhlosion is fire dark. Mm. I think they'll go a similar route with some dual typing.
Yep.
Gen 6 with Phoenix, the original Dudici, and the grass.
Not Gen 6. No. That's Gen 8, I believe.
Scratch that.
I believe Kalos is Gen 7, although I may be completely wrong. Again, I don't 100% know my... Oh, no, it's Gen 9, potentially... I don't know my Pokemon gens very well, I'll be honest.
Pokemon acquaintances.
Okay, I will start off with the predictions then. So we do know that it's a bit more modern than Legends Arceus. I, first of all, do not think this one will have time travel, which that was a big plot point in Arceus. We're not seeing time travel in this game.
No.
It is going to be, I think, like fully sort of modern, potentially time travel future, but I'm not going to put that down. I'm just going to say no time travel. Fully modern. I do fully predict it will be a proper open world game, though. Instead of, like, Legends kind of... Like, Legends Arceus' kind of zones.
Yeah, with the base camp.
I think we're going to see, like, a proper open world take on this formula. That I don't know if we will, but that's one I'm pretty, like, confident. Because they've dabbled with it enough now that I'm, like, I think they're going to commit.
I did not play Scarlet and Violet, unfortunately, and they did have an open world in that.
Yes, and
to
then...
some extent, and it did not work the best. It was poorly optimized for the Switch.
So Sword and Shield had an open world section, and then Scarlet and Violet were pretty much completely open world.
Something like that.
Yes. The Switch has problems running open world games. I think that this will come out to the sequel on the sequel to the Switch. I don't think this is coming out on the Switch as we know it.
That too, yeah.
Or if it does, it'll be a dual release where it comes out on both.
I think that's more likely.
My main reason I don't think it'll be that is I think the next Switch is just going to be backwards compatible with the current Switch. But this is not a Switch predictions. This is a Legends predictions.
That's coming out after the Silksong predictions.
Oh, God. But I do think it will be, at the very least... You know what? No, I'm putting my foot down. I'm going to say it's going to be exclusive to the Switch 2. We'll just say Switch 2 for now because we don't know what it's actually going to be called.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my foot down. I'm going to be bold. Exclusive to Switch 2. I'm adding it to the list.
Perfect.
So in Legends Arceus, the starters were from different generations.
Yes.
Do you want to make a guess as to what one of the starters will be? Because I think one is a shoo-in. I think Froakie is a shoo-in.
Froakie?
I believe that's the pre-evolve of Greninja.
Yes.
Greninja, because he's in Smash, super popular. And I think that pretty much guarantees, at the very least, definitely getting a regional form.
See, I was going to go Piplup.
Ooh, I'll put down Piplup starter. Sure. Why Piplup? Is it just because you like Piplup?
See, Empoleon already has dual typing Water Steel, correct?
I think so.
See... What I said earlier, I'm just wrong on all fronts. But yeah, we can really do something interesting with that secondary typing, you know, make it more like dark or something. I don't know. Water dark.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I do think we're going to see regional variants. We'll see regional variants 100%. It's such a big thing that the Pokemon games are doing now. And I am fully committed to regional Greninja. Mega Evolutions are back. I love Mega Evolutions. I think they're so fun.
I have not played a game with Megas.
Really?
Yes. I missed out on Omega Ruby. Didn't play any of the DS.
I have played Moon and Omega Ruby, both of which have the Mega Evolutions. Just straight off the bat, do you think there's going to be, like, can you name a Pokemon that you think will get a Mega?
I've seen this floating around. Mega Charizard Z now.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'll put it down, but I'm not happy about it. That does feel like something they will do. I think we're going to see Mega Wigglybuff. Again, I'm going off of like Smash-based knowledge here, but like Jigglypuff is popular enough. That's a different Pokemon entirely. popular enough. And as far as I know, I don't think Wigglybuff has one, but I can see it. I can see it happening.
Yeah.
I think. Actually, weird question. Is there a Mega Raichu?
I was literally going to ask that. It has a Alolan form?
Yeah.
I don't think it has
it. It would be very surprising if Raichu doesn't have a Mega. I don't think it does. No, it doesn't have a Mega. I'm going to put down Mega Raichu.
I think that's a good guess.
Yeah, that's actually very surprising because, I mean, it just feels like it would make so much sense. Do you have anything else? Any other idea? What's your, like, this is not happening, but I think it would be very cool if it happened prediction? Like, go as out there as you want.
Out there as I want. See, the first couple of seconds of the trailer did have, like, this, like, hand-drawn style to it, and then it, like, zoomed into, like, the future. So there might be some aspects of, like, going back and forth between, ooh, like, two different versions of Kalos.
Oh, I'm putting between time periods. Yeah. I mean, I'm sticking to my no time travel, but, like,
yeah,
I
this,
like
this
that.
Completely off the grain. Like, imagine a timeline directly after Arceus and then also into the future.
Oh, that would be cool. That'd be sick, yeah. Actually. I like that a lot. I'm going to go out and say this is not happening. It would be super cool if it did happen. This is not happening, though. A new type.
Oh.
We have not had a new type since Fairy. Fairy was introduced in, I believe it was Sun and Moon, although it might have been the Gen... Actually, no. No, I think Fairy was introduced in Kalos, in Gen 7 or whatever it is.
Oh, that's fitting. You know.
So I could see a new type potentially. Like, that's my only reasoning is, like, I believe the last time they had a new type was with this generation. That is the only reason I think a new type is even remotely possible, and I still think it's absolutely no way. But
any guesses on what a new type could possibly entail?
Oh, there was one that I've seen people throw around a lot, and it slipped my mind completely.
Oh. Sound.
There's already a lot of sound-based attacks, so it could kind of fit. Oh my god, there's definitely one that I've seen people throw around a lot, and it's just slipped my mind. Nah, I'll have to come back to you on that one. But yeah, I think a new type could be very, very cool, but again, it's not happening. But like, if it did happen, whew. I think they could do they could lean into kind of the futuristic angle and do like a cyber type or something like that. You know, ooh, something like for like the Porygon line would fit like pretty well. And they've kind of leaned into like futuristic stuff in a few of the games.
A future type.
So something like that I think is like maybe on the board. I don't think it's happening. But if it were, I think it could go down that road.
If they add a new type, I think a lot of the back catalog of Pokemon will be updated with this new type.
So well, that's what happened with Fairy.
Yeah, so it'll be a lot of work on Game Freak's part. We'll see.
You are listening to Player One here on Sin with Zach and Ravindu. Question of the day, how you going?
I'm doing great.
You're doing great?
Like.
Great like? You're doing great like? Wow, that's insane. I'm doing radio like.
Yeah.
This is radio is really a podcast like, you know?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Or podcasts are radio likes.
I think everything is a theater like.
Everything is a theater-like. Yes. That's really existential-like of you.
I think so.
All right. We're talking game genres, and specifically game genres that are just game name and then like, because I don't like them, but I understand why they're used, but I don't like them.
You know, after like, what, 50 plus years of games, newer games are going to look like older games, play like older games.
Yeah. And it is a very easy shorthand of like, this game is like this one.
Yeah.
So let's just call it that. And obviously, the big one is the Souls-like. Now, what's your experience with the Souls series?
Not a lot.
I'm including like Bloodborne and Elden Ring in this.
Yeah, so I played a little bit of Elden Ring. Honestly, a bit too hard for me.
Disappointing. You're not a bad gamer.
Bad gamer.
Bad game. No, if the gaming is satisfying, you're not a bad gamer. If you're having fun.
See, it was too hard. Yeah, it was a bad experience, unfortunately.
That's fair. I have finished Bloodborne and Elden Ring. Big fan of both. Average fan of both. I think Elden Ring definitely gets a bit overhyped at times and could use a little tightening up. Bloodborne, though, that's a solid experience.
I've heard good things about Bloodborne.
Load times are very bad. Load times are awful, and there's a couple of weird bits. But anyway, but now pretty much any game that has that style, that sort of, you know, that difficulty and the dodge roll and the exploration and the interconnected level design, not all of these elements, but like a good handful of them, kind of gets referred to as a Souls-like nowadays.
I want to boil it down to insane bosses with like big choreographed attacks,
mm-hmm.
dodge rolls,
okay,
and exploration. Those three elements, I think in my mind, make up a Souls-like game.
Hollow Knight.
Oh, you stumped me.
Face,
you stumped me.
Is Hollow Knight a Souls-like?
3D as well. See, I think...
Didn't you put... Is Blasphemous 3D? Because you said Blasphemous.
I did say Blasphemous.
Earlier we were talking, Blasphemous is a Souls-like.
Oh, no.
See, it's hard,
it,
right?
It gets muddled.
It gets very muddled. I'll say this. On its Steam page, at the very least, Hollow Knight is tagged as a Souls-like.
Really?
Take that with what you will. It also is tagged as Metroidvania. And this is my hot take. Souls-likes are just, like the Souls games are just 3D Metroidvanias.
Yeah, when you're explaining to me, it ticks all the boxes.
You're going through areas, you're backtracking, you're getting new abilities that let you go to previous areas, and Metroidvanias are kind of known for having that, like, interconnected level design. That's kind of what defines them, really. So... but no one ever refers to them as Metroidvanias because that doesn't get the same image across.
Yeah, I think grit also comes through when you say Souls-like. I think the mole is like dark and like gritty. Even Hollow Knight to some extent does evoke that like emotion.
I will say though, Neo is a very textbook Souls-like, and it's not that dark and gritty. It's dark, but like... It's got its moments of levity.
Okay.
So, I don't know, and I definitely would say that it's very like the Souls games. Like, it shares a lot of DNA with them, and it kind of wears it on its sleeve.
Yeah.
So, I don't think here's the thing, we're not going to narrow down what a Souls-like is.
No, we're not.
No, it's impossible. But I think it is kind of worth looking into how we use these genres a little bit, and like, what does this genre actually mean? Because, yeah, it gets very muddled. And we keep talking about Souls-like as though that's a new thing of, like, using the game to describe other games. But, like, Metroidvania's got there first.
Yeah.
Because it is just Metroid and Castlevania, specifically Symphony of the Night, which is very interesting. Very interesting that it's Metroid and Symphony of the Night, because, like, the original Metroid came out well before Symphony of the Night did, and the original Castlevania games are not similar at all.
Explain to me the history behind that term. Do you know where Metroidvania came from?
All I really know is that it comes from like the style of gameplay formulated mostly by Metroid and Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Probably mostly Super Metroid. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one that everyone is much more familiar with. The original Metroid is kind of bad. It's kind of fun, but it's kind of bad. A lot of NES games are in that category of like, yeah, I can see how this was really influential. don't play it. Have you ever tried playing the original Legend of Zelda?
No, I have not.
Oh,
it's, shivers.
It is not very fun.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, it's not great.
Damn.
But yeah, so now kind of any like 2D game where you have that heavy exploration and the getting new abilities that let you explore more of the world kind of gets classed as a Metroidvania, because that's what these games did. But again, you can apply that to so many games that I wouldn't really feel like again, even the Souls series, I wouldn't feel comfortable calling those Metroidvanias, but that's kind of what you're doing.
You can say like a lot of games, oh wait, as you level up in like an RPG, you get it like cut and surf Pokemon staples.
Oh yeah, is yeah. Pokemon a Metroidvania?
Do they count? Yeah. It is a pretty like interconnected level.
And then you are backtracking through previous areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where it gets muddled.
Very muddled. Even a slight tangent, we were talking about JRPGs. I don't like JRPG does not describe a role-playing game made in Japan.
No, it does not.
It doesn't, because there are so many games that are made in Japan that are role-playing games that you would never call a JRPG.
Yeah.
Such as Elden Ring, which is the litmus test of, like, this is evidently a Japanese-made role-playing game, but it is not what anyone thinks of when you say JRPG.
No, so when I think of JRPG, I think of Yakuza Like a Dragon. I think... Honestly, there's, like, it's so different to like a Western RPG. It's the theming and the elements portrayed are like just...
Well, Western RPGs are very rooted in like Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
And like the Soul series, you can tell, is kind of rooted in that same sort of like that fantasy style.
Mm.
It's very different setting, very different vibe. Not to say that it's a requirement, because a lot of Final Fantasy games, that's the textbook JRPG series, and yet a lot of them don't have that sort of style. In fact, the more recent ones I feel like are closer to Western RPGs, and Final Fantasy 16 is very Game of Thrones heavy. Like, that's its influence, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, so just...
So is Final Fantasy not a JRPG anymore?
What are words?
What do words mean? Now... The other one that I needed a bit of a fact check on is roguelike versus roguelite, because I always used them interchangeably.
You came to the right person. I've explained it on many times. I am a fan of one of these two genres. They are two distinct genres in my mind. Roguelike, L-I-K-E, like, is just the OG rogue game. Haven't played it. But that spawns, like Metroidvania, it spawned a whole subgenre of games where you're progressing through a level, die, and then do it all over again until you progress further based on skill and knowledge of the game. Roguelites, L-I-T-E, has, when you die, there's stuff to do outside of that gameplay loop.
Meta progression. And that's what you like.
That's what I like, because I'm bad at games.
Yeah. No, fair. Yeah, I respect that. You didn't finish Elden Ring.
No, I bad couldn't. Gamer. But I finished Cult of the Lamb because it's a rogue light.
Fair. To be fair, I finished Elden Ring, but I could only finish it by like playing a podcast in the background while playing. It became a game where it's like I'm getting frustrated, so it's just going to be something for my thumbs to do while I listen to this podcast, because I can't just listen to a podcast and be doing nothing. I have to be doing something.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I didn't really get very immersed. I'm a bad gamer. It wasn't a satisfying experience. Oh, no. Anyway, let us know what you think about the whole, like, Souls-like thing. Do you like the term? Haha, do you Souls like the term? And it is time to test our knowledge.
I like this segment.
You like this segment?
It makes me feel smart.
You've won every time, haven't you?
Yep.
It's time for a quiz, and this time we've decided to do Pokemon.
Yeah. Just before we start, I want to give a quick shout out to my girlfriend, who has a great potential mega evolution for the upcoming game, Mega Mr. Mime.
I think that would be very fun.
A Mega Mime.
Mega Mime.
It has to be blue.
Mega Mime. You know they're making a new Mega Mime movie?
I did not know that.
I believe it's not releasing in like theaters though. It's like a straight to streaming. It doesn't look very good.
Interesting.
I am putting Mega Mime in our predictions list though.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Do you think that's likely?
at this point?
I actually think that's pretty possible.
Yeah.
I actually, you know what? That's probably the most likely thing on the list.
All right.
I like that prediction. I think Mega Mime would be very fun. Anyway, we're going to quiz each other on our Pokemon knowledge. Now, as we said earlier, neither of us are super duper Pokemon familiar, so this will be interesting. We are Pokemon acquaintances.
Yes.
We have a decent amount of we've got a bit of experience with the games, and I think Pokemon as a franchise is something that people are universally pretty familiar with. Did you ever play the trading card game?
No, I only collected them.
I did play a little bit back in primary school. Not the deepest card game out there, I'll say that, at like an amateur level.
It plays a bit like Magic the Gathering, correct? That's all I know.
Yeah, but then you could say that about most card games.
Okay, never mind.
I feel like you could say most card games play, yeah, a bit like Magic the Gathering. Yeah. And Yu-Gi-Oh! Plays a bit like Magic the Gathering, right?
No, it doesn't.
No?
No, mana system, mainly.
Okay, yeah, you do have to play, like, elemental cards that, like, you then use to play your Pokemon. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. No, I played it for a little bit, but it's not the deepest. It's still decently fun, though.
Interesting.
So, yeah, we're going to test our Pokemon knowledge.
We're going to be talking about the Pokemon video games.
Yes. I have not got anything about trading card game. To be fair, I have got one that's not about a Pokemon video game. I'm very sorry. It's tangential.
That's
it's
okay.
Related.
That's
yeah, okay. Do you want to hit me with the first question?
Question number one. How does Eevee evolve into Sylveon?
Oh, Sylveon. Sylveon's the psychic one, right?
No.
Wait,
it's the fairy one.
Sylveon's fairy? Oh, wait, yeah. Oh, okay, let me give me some thinking music, which is also my timer. So 30 seconds. So it's not a stone. I know that it's not a stone. I think it's something to do with happiness, but that's Umbreon and Espeon, isn't it? So Sylveon is something different. It's probably got to be holding an item at a specific time, I reckon. Yeah, I'll say you need to have a specific item and it needs to hit a certain level during a certain time of day. Is that too vague?
Final answer?
Yeah.
You did have happiness.
Oh, it is happiness.
Happiness and know a fairy type move.
Oh, it just has to. It has to be max happiness, know a fairy type move?
Yes. If it.
Oh.
Believe if it doesn't know a fairy type move, it will be Umbreon or.
Espeon.
But if it does, straight to Sylveon.
Yep. Because, and then Umbreon is if it's at night, and yep. Espeon's during the day.
Yep.
Okay. All right, well, let's stick with the Eevee theming then. I'll hit one for you.
Go ahead.
Name three types that do not have an Eeveelution, not including normal type because that's Eevee itself.
Sorry?
Not including normal type because that's Eevee. So yes, Eevee does not evolve into a normal type.
Okay, yeah.
But Eevee is a normal type. So yep. I just want to get that one knocked on the head so we're not dealing with a technicality later on of like, technically Eevee doesn't evolve into a normal type. It already is one.
All right.
Just want to knock that one on the head. So, go for it.
Not. Dragon. Bug.
Yep.
Flying.
Yep. I should just ask you to name all of them.
Isn't that what you asked?
No, I just said just three. Because I was like, Eevee's pretty particular. Eevee's pretty specific.
All right, dragon, bug, flying. Locked in.
Yeah, sure. Do you want to name some more? For fun.
Steel.
Yep.
Ground, rock.
Yep.
And
there's one more that you haven't... Oh, two more that you haven't gotten.
Two more?
I'll throw three more. See what I mean? There's actually... If I'd asked you to name all of them, it would have been hard, actually. Is it too late to change my question?
I'm stumped.
It's fighting, poison, and ghost also don't. Oh, and ground. You didn't say ground.
I said rock and ground.
Oh, okay. I thought you just said rock. My bad. But yeah, fighting, poison, and ghost do not. I think a new Eevee type could be a potential thing for the next game.
Dragon type. I want a dragon type Eevee.
I mean, I think Eevee should just have every type at some point. Like, that just makes so much sense.
Yeah, it just... Fan favorite, they can do no wrong if they introduce another Eevee.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Yeah, you're winning, as per usual. I really should have made that one harder. That's on me. Next question.
It's a Legends Arceus question.
Okay, good.
How familiar with the different Pokeballs in them?
Reasonably.
And
we'll find out.
My question is, what is unique about the Jet Ball?
The Jet Ball.
Specifically in Legends Arceus.
Oh, man, I'm not that familiar because everyone just uses, like, regular Pokeballs and Ultra Balls because they're so easy to get.
Yep.
And occasionally Heavy Balls because what else do you use the Heavy Stones for? And Quick Balls. Quick Balls or Light Balls, whatever they're called, the blue ones. Or is that Jet Ball?
That is the Jet Ball.
Oh, well, in that case, it goes further.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, it goes way further.
Further and faster.
I feel like I shouldn't get the point because I didn't remember what the Jet Ball was.
I asked you what the Jet Ball does, and you answered that.
My guess was going to be like, well, I guess it would go further and faster anyway. No. My other guess would have been it like is better at catching Pokemon in water, maybe.
I think that would be the Netball.
That is the Netball, yes.
Not the sport, but...
No, Netball. Yeah, Netball's the sport. What are you on about? All right.
We're talking about games.
All right. I'll take one. I need a win.
No, take one. No, that's a point for you.
How familiar are you with, like, Gen 3?
Which one's that?
That is Sapphire, Ruby, Emerald.
I have played Emerald.
Okay. What is the name of the professor in Generation 3? Your face just fell.
It's not Oak.
Correct, it's not Oak, but that's not the answer.
So... Everyone knows it's like trees, so I'm just like...
It is a tree. I'll give you that. It's a tree. They're all trees.
Willow? No, Willow sounds like a later one.
I believe Willow might have been Gen 4?
Or like the Pokemon Go. It's not Juniper.
Nope, Juniper's definitely a different one.
That's it.
Just name a tree. Lock in a tree.
Willow.
It is Birch. And I wanted to bring that one up because that was my first Pokemon game, Pokemon Emerald.
Birch.
And so I do have fond memories of Professor Birch. Yes.
NPC names are just never something I'm good at.
Oh, thanks. I'm going to write that down. Bad at NPC names.
Yep.
Cool. All right, hit me with your next one. This is your last question, yes?
This is my last question. This is relating to Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Which I have not played, so let's see how we go.
It is a multiple choice question to make it slightly easier. The evil team in... the rival team in Pokemon Sword and Shield. What is their name? A, Yell? B, Shout? Or C, Stomp?
I don't need to put the thing on because I'm almost certain it's Yell.
Correct.
Yes. Which means if you don't get this question right, I win. This one's also a multiple choice question, though.
Go ahead.
Which of these does not appear in a Pokeball in Smash? Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, specifically. Goldeen, Ditto, Arcanine, Fledgling. Do you need music?
Explain the question again.
Which of these does not appear in a Pokeball in Smash? So when you get the Pokeball item, you throw the Pokeball, a Pokemon appears. Which of these is not one of those Pokemon? Goldeen, Ditto, Arcanine, Fledgling. Are there any that you can rule out immediately?
For the viewers at home, I play with no items.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yep.
I do too, but I turn them on occasionally for a bit of fun.
Arcanine stands out. Arcanine doing a fire type move. That makes sense. Throw some fire out. Ditto. Goldeen. Goldeen or Fledgling? Those are my two.
Okay. You've got to pick one. You've got 8 seconds of thinking music left.
Fledgling.
Fledgling? No. It is Arcanine.
Really?
Yeah. So Ditto transforms into your character and fights as a computer player.
Nice.
Goldeen does nothing.
Okay.
Goldeen literally does nothing. And also Goldeen can appear in Master Balls very rarely, but it can happen. It's very funny. And Fledgling just kind of waddles around and pecks people, just interrupts them a little bit. Arcanine does not appear. But there are multiple, like, there are, like, Fire-type, like, Entei appears is kind of the big one. I was like, which one am I going to swap for another similar Pokemon?
Right.
It's like Fire-type dog, Entei to Arcanine.
That's, all right.
Which means that's a win for me.
Congratulations.
That's a W right there, which given how badly I messed up the first question, I am taking that.
You brought it back.
I brought it back. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. You've been tuned in to Player One on Sin, and for the last time tonight, Ravindu, how are you going?
I'm doing great, thank you.
You're doing great, even though we're leaving.
I think we ended on a good note.
We ended on a... You know what we did. You want to know why?
Go on.
It's because I won the quiz.
You ended on a good note.
I ended on the best note. I won the Pokemon quiz, and I don't really know that much about Pokemon, I'll be honest. To be fair, neither do you.
Congratulations.
Oh, thanks. That's so kind. I needed a win here, okay? I hadn't won one yet. I needed to take something.
For those keeping track, it is now 2-1.
It is 2-1. This is... For those who used to listen to Player One... back in 2021, I was like on top of the quiz. I'm pretty sure I won the most. If I didn't win the most, it was like a tie. But I was definitely up there. So my reputation has fallen.
All right.
How far have we fallen? But anyway, thank you so much for listening. Had a great show. Like I said, we did the Pokemon quiz and as Pokemon Z Legend ZA predictions there. Spoke a bit about genres. And of course, we did the playlist. What games did we talk about on the playlist?
We talked about indie titles. We've got Curse of the Frog Detective 2, Call of the Lamb, and Mutazone.
Yes, and I spoke a bit about Inscription and Yakuza Like a Dragon. If you want to let us know what you've been playing, hit us up on the socials, on Instagram, at Player1Syn, Player1Syn. We love game recommendations, so let us know what you got going on. Let us know what you're thinking of the games you're playing. If you think they're good, let us know so we can play them. And also check out the podcast on Omni, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. Have a nice week.
You've been listening to Player One, a Sin Media program. Sin is a radio station in Naarm, Melbourne, for all young people aged 12 to 25. You can listen to Player One live Monday nights from 8 p.m. on 90.7 FM, DAB+, or the Sin website, syn.org.au. Tell us what you've been playing on our Instagram, at Player1Syn. That's Player1SYN, all one word. And make sure to tell your friends about the show.